하늘로 예보했고 예보 부인스럽고 아멘. There is a story of a pastor, a priest, who has just visited a home and he decides to give that home a phone call. And he calls them up and he is answered with a voice that is whispering. And he says, the voice says, hello. And so the pastor says, hello, who is this? And the voice again, whispering, says, my name's Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, how old are you? I'm 4 years old. Oh, Jimmy, that's nice. Can I talk to your mother? He says, no, she's busy. Okay, can I talk to your father? No, he's busy. Jimmy, are there any other parents or adults there? The police are here. He says, can I talk to the police? No, they're busy. Anyone else? The firemen are here. Can I talk to the firemen? No, no, they're busy too. The pastor says, well, is there any other adult that I can talk to? He says, well, my neighbors are here, but they're busy too. So he finally says, Jimmy, what is everyone busy doing? And Jimmy answers, they're all looking for me. So often in our lives, people are like Jimmy, ourselves included. We try to hide from other things around us. We hide from our work. We hide from our family, from our friends, from school, we hide from society, we hide from politics, and we even try to hide from God. But in reality, we hear today in the gospel a promise that Christ makes. And he says that the Son of Man has come to save the lost, to save those who are lost. And to completely understand this very comforting promise, this very comforting thought, we need to understand what it means to be saved and what it means to be lost. When we hear the word saved in English, we usually think of the idea of being freed from something or being protected from an enemy or from danger. And as I mentioned in my sermon a couple weeks ago, the Armenian word to save, pergel, to save, lit in the old Armenian, comes from the old Syriac word, which means to be free, to be set free. And this is usually what we think of when we think of being saved. I'm saved from danger, I'm freed from danger. But in reality, the old Armenian word that's used in the translation today in the gospel is not pergel, not to save. It's getsutsanel. And getsutsanel literally means to give life, to enliven, to give life to someone. So Christ has come not to save the lost, but to give life to the lost. And this is a totally different idea. That means to receive life is salvation. To receive life means to be freed from things around us. But then the next question is, who are the lost? Or what are the lost? And to understand this, we have to understand where Christ is saying this in the gospel. We hear the gospel and it's just a section. But if we read earlier in the gospel today, Christ says very clearly to his disciples, he says, be assured that if you do not change and are not like children, then you will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. The lost are not people who don't find God. The lost are people who do not think like children do. The lost are people who are consumed with worry and fear. The lost are people who think about tomorrow. They think about finance. They think about health. They think about all the troubles that this world is bringing. These are the lost. Because what do children do? They don't think about tomorrow. They don't think about where their meal is going to come from or who's going to take them where or what. They have complete trust in their parents. They have complete trust in their adult, in the adults in their house. And those children, without thinking about anything else, believe in what their parents say and do. And likewise, we must be like children. Believe in God in heaven. Christ uses children many, many times throughout the Gospels in his parables and in his teaching. And he teaches us that we should live, we should believe, and we should be like children. And the question then is why? Why? Our parents constantly say, at least mine told me, grow up. Grow up. Stop acting like a kid. Alright? And we say this often to our children. Grow up. You're a big boy now. You're a big girl now. You should know right from wrong, this and that. And this is true. We should grow up. This is not saying we should all be in diapers and live our lives this way, like children. But children are innocent. They are sinless. Any person that tells you a child is born with sin either does not know Christianity and Christ or is lying to you. Okay? And you can send them to me and I can tell you, tell them that. Anyone who tells you a child has sin in them is wrong. And this is not what the Armenian church teaches or the Eastern churches teach. But children do not hold on to grudges. Children do not hold onto grudges, or they are very quick to forgive sin, forgive sins or wrongs that have happened. And as I said, how often have we had two children that are there and they're fighting? One hits the other, one starts crying, mom or dad comes over and tells them you shouldn't be doing that, that's wrong. Ask for forgiveness, forgive that person, say you're sorry, and they do it. And then what do? They run off and they play. They don't say to that other one, you hit me, you can't play with me anymore. It's done. It's over. It's forgiven. But as I said, unfortunately, how many of us hold grudges? We keep score very often and for very long times. So much so, unfortunately, that we keep score even after the person has passed away and we hold it against the family. This is not good. This is not Christianity. This is something else. Paganism. Pagans do that. Other religions do that. Christians do not hold grudges forever. Second thing is, children have no concept of hate. They have no concept of prejudice. Society teaches that. And unfortunately, families teach that. And unfortunately, in today's society, we hear this often. We are being taught, and we are teaching our children, you have to hate this type of person because of this, this, and this. You have to like this person because of this, this, and this. Children do not get the concept of skin color, of religion, of economics. What else do I have here? Of looks. They have no idea of that. We're the ones that teach that. And so children see only God's image in the other person. And this is how we have to look at each other. We see the image and the likeness of God in person in front of us. If we don't, we are not children. And then finally, trust. Children trust blindly, as we say. If we tell the children that the sky is going to be green tomorrow because it's St. Patrick's Day, they will believe it. And they will wake up and they will run out and see if the sky is green. Children believe anything we tell them. This is why it's so careful to tell them the right things, but it is also very important that they trust us undeniably. They don't ask for proof. Very few children, unless they're older, very few children will say, oh, this guy's going to be green, show me the evidence. Nobody says, no child says that. We would say that. We would say, show us. Where is the evidence that it's going to be green tomorrow? Children believe. So when Christ tells us, our Heavenly Father tells us something, what do? Oh God, show me a sign that you're going to do this for me. Help me strengthen my faith to believe in you. We ask for a slew of things. And then even when we get them, we still doubt. We still question. We still ask, God, I know you told me this, 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 and this. But how do I know it's going to happen? We try and find other ways to go about finding what God has promised us. For God's sake, just trust Him. This is what He says, trust me. That's all I need, is your trust in me, and I will give you everything. This is how we are called to live our lives. how to live our faith, and how to believe. This means that when Christ makes a promise, there should be no doubt in our heart. When Christ says, I will raise the dead on the final day, don't go into the science books and try and find proof of that happening. When God says, I will free you from your past, don't try and find different ways and different organizations that are going to try and make me feel good so that I forget the past. People do this. They go for alcoholism. They go for alcohol or drugs to try and forget the past. God does not say to do that. He says, trust me and I will do it. But also when God says that I will give you resurrection and that you need to be like children to enter the kingdom of heaven, that means we have to believe and follow that promise that he has given us. So as we hear many promises in this world today, and we have lots of politicians on both sides of the aisle, we have lots of people and teachers teaching us things, and lots of people saying, if we do this, this will happen. We will do this and things will succeed. My question really is, whom do we put our trust in again? Whom do we follow? Whom do we listen to? Do we listen to God? Because we don't ask for everyone else for proof. We trust them. It's up to us to listen to the promise that God has said. Follow his word and realize that we have been given the opportunity to be saved. That is, to be given life. And to have life is to be like a child. How many people, those of us who are older, will say, if only I was a child again. I was carefree. No worries, no fears. I could play until the lights came on outside, right? The street lights came on and played outside. And I had, my biggest worry was whether or not I had to take a shower at night. So my mom made me take a shower. That is how we need to live our lives. And Christ says, I will give you that, but you need to follow and trust me.
Amen.
Amen.